Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. My name is Louis Mendes. I hope you guys are well on your Sunday morning. On today's show, we'll be looking back at yesterday's 3-2 home win against Carlisle United at the Valley of the Addicts. Secure back-to-back wins for the first time this season. We're only in March, so it hasn't taken too long. Joining me to look back at that game, first up, top right, Tom Welling. How you doing, Tom?
Yeah, I'm all right. First win I've seen since November, I think, maybe. So, yeah, it's been a long time coming.
To be fair, it's the first win for most people since November, obviously, because we've only won away since then. And, yeah, well, again, nice to finally get that home win, first home win for Nathan Jones as well. Bottom of the screen there is Benji Cloak. How you doing, Ben?
I'm all right now. I was really unhappy during the game. I don't know if the realisation, as you just said, two wins in two for the first time this season, I wasn't jumping around going, oh, yes, get in there, we scored. I was just like, we're making a really bad side here look actually all right, and we're not much better. So, but anyway, let's talk about it, have some therapy, and maybe I'll feel better at the end.
There we go. Excellent. So on today's show, then, we'll hear the goals shortly. We'll hear from the Addicts boss, Nathan Jones. Spoke to him after yesterday. He gave us a little bit of transfer news as well when we were talking. Also, we're going to hear from Alfie May. And yes, I did ask him about the tunnel jump, which was quite a remarkable effort, a tunnel jump, if we're being honest. We've got a couple of guest fans joining us later on in the show as well. Martin Eisted and his son Harley are going to join us. And so he can put to bed once and for all that he is not related to Harry Eisted. Get that scandal over and done with later on in the show. We're going to hear from you guys as well. Morning to Sam, who's in the chat, as well as Dudley Ray. Dudley sent us a very good morning to everybody, because it is. Ray saying 3 points in the bag. Just want to highlight that Kanu was fantastic in the last six. He's been running all day and finishes well. Ian's in there. Norman's in there. Martin's in the chat. All hell let loose. Shiny Phil, Andrew, Paul Davenport. I think Paul Davenport might have won Valley Gold yesterday. Let us know if that was you, Paul. There was a P Davenport who won like £300. Let us know what you made of yesterday's game, the performance, the 3 points, the tunnel jump, anything you want to talk about. Are we safe now? Are we on the verge of safety? I did put that to Nathan. I think we're pretty much there as far as I'm concerned. Just before we start, I just want to send our condolences to Mads as well, James Madison. I know a lot of you know him, the Charlton fan. He goes home and away, sadly lost his father, who took him to the ground for the first time in 1996 over the weekend. So just to let Mads know that everyone, Charlton supporters and here at Charlton Live, we're all thinking of you. And we look forward to seeing you soon when you're ready to come back. Tom, yesterday's win. Ben did say we made hard work of it, I guess, against a Carlisle side who a rock bottom and has obviously lost 9 of the last 10 league games and have got Sam Lavelle in defence. So, how did you see it overall?
Yeah, I enjoyed Benji's comments yesterday. He took over my role of hating everything about the club, hating the fans being happy, hating the fact we're winning even though we're rubbish. And I wasn't quite as extreme as Benji yesterday, but it probably was, you know, Reading aside, which you can kind of maybe excuse because Nathan had just come in. That probably was our worst performance under Nathan Jones, I thought. Similar to Benji, really. We made them look quite good. You compare that to Portsmouth. I thought the Portsmouth-Charlton game was quite even. And that's a team right at the top. And now we're playing a team who are stranded at the bottom. And we, you know, at large parts, they look pretty comfortable on the ball. Having said that, Eisted didn't have a lot to do in apart from probably should have done better with that first goal. And obviously we got the win. And when you're not playing well and you're getting wins, you look at where we are now. And you think if we'd have played like that under Michael Appleton, we certainly wouldn't have won that game. So there was bits of Benji's comments that, as I say, I agree with. And I was largely, you know, a bit unimpressed by the performance, but we got the win. And to be able to come onto a podcast after a home win, having not had one in November, and still say I was a bit disappointed with the performance, shows the expectations we're starting to set now, as opposed to coming here and just being absolutely delighted with the 3 points. So, yeah, strange old day, but overall, obviously delighted. Like you say, I think maybe one more just to be sure. But the way we're playing and the way we're getting results now and the way we're looking, I think we're going to be fine. And really, as I said, when Nathan first came in, that's all we can ask for from him for this season. And now it's about going on and starting to build for next year. So, yeah, you can't be unhappy with a win, even if the performance maybe wasn't as good as we could have hoped for.
Excellent stuff. Right, well, let's have a listen back to the goals then from Charlton TV. As always, your commentators were Greg Stubbley and Terry Smith.
Charlton's with it. It's a low one. Anderson gets a block on it, but Neil will find it. He'll get back out to Charlton and swings it into the penalty area. It's right across the six-yard box, and it's guided in by Armstrong. Heisted tried to get there in the top corner. Can only palm it into the side netting. And the Wayside have the lead.
A big goal for Carlisle. And it all comes from that decision from Gillespie not to go long or not to go back to the keeper. And in the end, Carlisle got the corner. They pass it short, the near post. It comes back out to Charters. Low cross in. And in the end, Armstrong just helps it goalwards. Dobson's tight, but can't get across to block the shot. He had too much on it for Eisted, who couldn't keep it out.
It's good work from Daniel Carnu.
Carnu tempted a shot, might come the way of Alfie May. It does. Alfie May scores! He had to be alert. The way it broke to him was fortunate. But Alfie May is clinical with his finish. League One's top goal scorer adds another to his tally.
And although Carnu didn't do the prettiest of setups, the hold-up play was exceptional from Daniel Carnu. He turned and then tried to hit it himself. Didn't catch it at all well, but the initial challenge and turn was great. The shot deflected off the back of Huntington, and May pounces like only Alfie May can.
Out to the right-hand side is Edmunds Green, who's starting to venture a little bit further forward. Now May looks for the run of Carnu. It's a wonderful pass. Daniel Carnu, can he finish? He can!
Well found by Alfie May, and Daniel Carnu does the rest. Wonderful link-up play between Charlton's two strikers. And Charlton take the lead.
That's a lovely ball from Alfie May and a great run from Daniel Carnu. And just for a split second, you thought the opportunity had gone because he wanted to hit it first time and almost got there before the ball. And so he had to adjust his body and you thought the moment had gone. That lovely pass from Alfie May into the box. That's the first moment. And then the second one absolutely slammed into the roof of the net. And a striker on form scores goals like that.
Lurking behind the Carlisle midfielder, but here's Armour. Teasing cross in the penalty here, and Charlton don't know how to deal with it. Comes back towards Diamonds, and the referee's given a penalty. Armstrong fell to the floor as the ball came in the box. I think Gillespie may well have blocked him.
But Charlton didn't know how to deal with the ball in from Armour. And when it looked like Diamond was going to release the trigger for the shot, the referee gives a penalty instead.
We didn't get the image until the incident has happened, so it's impossible to tell from that angle. The referee took an age to give it.
And Gillespie didn't complain at all, suggests that he might have been holding onto Charters to take. Charters, it's a great penalty beyond Harry Eisted. And we're level again.
This is headed to Edmunds Green, forward to Carnu. Chest control by Carnu. Goes back to Edmunds Green, who sends it up towards Connor Wickham. Little head flick on, looking for Alfie May, who might get on the end of this. It's a defensive blunder, and Alfie May, can he finish? Yes, he can, Alfie May, and Charlton retake the lead. Lovely solo effort from Alfie May after a defensive howler when Connor Wickham's flick on tried to find him. Charlton won't care how it comes. Alfie May gets his second and Charlton's third.
Well, May's pointed towards Wickham. I'm not sure he can claim the assist for this run. It's a poor decision from Sam Lavelle. Has to clear his lines, instead the ball back to his goalkeeper's weak, and May, with that confidence, is able to finish. But you see the flick here from Wickham causes a bit of nervousness for Lavelle. May, confident touch and had the composure just to chest it down. And once he did that, he just had an empty net to fire into.
There we go. That's the goals from yesterday's 3-2 home win against Carlisle United. Had to come from behind in the first half, and then were pegged back when we had a 2-1 lead in the second period. But yeah, took advantage of a slip in the Carlisle defence from Sam Lavelle to score the winner. Ben, give us your overall summary of the game then. So we have our little WhatsApp group where we chat during games just to get a flavour of how everyone's enjoying it. And you weren't. You were really wound up with parts of the point, particularly in the first half. I mean, how did you see it yesterday?
Oh, it's hard to explain. I turned up to the game expecting that we were finally going to get a home win. And because we were playing bottom of the table and we'd played so well against Derby, against Portsmouth lately, you kind of felt like, here it is. We're going to come. We're going to get a full performance. And that first half an hour it went so quickly. And I just thought we were dreadful. Our passing was poor. We isolated Thierry Small, our main outlet, and no one helped support him. And I just thought we made a poor side look all right. And I mean, they weren't even connecting two or three passes together. I mean, as we heard in that goal there, that goal came from Gillespie just giving the ball away needlessly. They get a corner, and I don't know what that corner was, how they even scored from that. It was like he kind of brushed it off his chest, and it just seemed like the desire, the hard work that we done in the last few games just wasn't there. It kind of maybe felt like that we took our foot off the gas. Maybe we thought, we'll play our game and we'll roll these over. Or maybe the mindset was, I just thought with our formation, we're playing five at the back, we're playing Dobson and Coventry. That is a game set up for playing against a better side. I think we showed them too much respect. And if you watched, Alfie and Daniel were getting so annoyed up front that at times Alfie was by the halfway line getting the ball, trying to ping it out and get us forward quicker. I think it felt like before, you know, we kept that sideways passing, we just weren't progressive enough. And it was like, what are we waiting for here, guys? We've seen how like dodgy they are at the back and misplaced passes and not much confidence there. Let's go at them. And then when they scored, it just felt like, well, that's coming because we're just not on it today. Maybe for me it was a bit of perspective now that maybe it was hanging over them that we hadn't won at home for so long. It is great to get the win. But I guess now the more we get safe, the more we'll kind of individualise performances and plays and think, is this going to, I know you said it a few times as well, is this going to be good enough to mount a title challenge next season? And maybe my mindset was more thinking about that rather than actually, Ben, shut up. This is our first home win since November. Let's just be happy and see a tunnel jump and have a few beers and a laugh afterwards. So, yeah, maybe I'm being too too down about it, or I should be happy.
Yeah, I mean, that raises an interesting point about exactly where we are with this squad and at this stage of what will hopefully become the process that Nathan takes us through, because clearly I don't think this squad as is would go and win promotion or playoffs or anything like that next season. But the change in direction over the last few weeks, Tom, where we've gone from a side that probably would have lost that game, probably would have buckled at times going behind and you know, maybe an Alfie May, for example, who wouldn't have taken those two chances like we've seen over the last few weeks. It's just fascinating to see that. I think we're sort of in a weird middle ground, but the fact that it's gone in the right direction over the last few weeks is positive, and you've got to take that. And I thoroughly enjoyed yesterday, even though it was at times, you know, I thought in the first half we were disjointed.
Yeah, and you say this team wouldn't go for promotion, but you know, we've beaten Derby, we've drawn with Bolton, we've drawn with Portsmouth, we've beaten some of the lower teams. The run that we're on is the sort of run that, had we not had the Michael Appleton part of this season, we might still have a shout at the top six. You know, if Michael Appleton had even just got, you know, 10 more points, just a few wins and a couple of draws towards the end, that would have made a huge difference. So I agree with you to a certain extent, but actually the way that we're playing and the form table since Nathan comes in suggests actually we might do. I think the interesting thing about that squad and what you raise is, you know, I look at, I was talking to the people sat around me yesterday. You look at Tenai Watson warming up. I was ready for him to be sold in January. I couldn't see what he offered us. I wanted him nowhere near this side anymore. But he's transformed. You look at Caroy Anderson, who came into the season with huge confidence, basically had all of that shot under Appleton. And now you look at the way he's playing. I thought yesterday was a weaker game, but maybe just tired. Same with Kanu. You know, people like Terrell Thomas. You know, they're players that, you know, if you'd asked me 3 or 4 months ago, I'd have said no chance of them being here next year. And probably they still won't be, because probably we are going to push on to another level, or maybe they will be backups. But actually, Nathan Jones is getting a tune out of players that, you know, I hated a lot of these players not that long ago. I really, really didn't like them. I had no connection to this squad whatsoever, wanted them all gone, was properly upset at the way this season had gone, didn't think they cared. And now you've got a manager who's just getting a different tune out of them. And so it shows you the importance of that manager. Whatever Appleton wants to try and say, it shows you the importance of having a manager who can instill confidence, who can give them a kick up the backside when he needs to, who can, you know, motivate them when he needs to, who can guide them through a game. And that has just been transformative. And it's still early days under Nathan Jones. And when he goes on a bad run at some point, it will be very interesting to see how he adapts to that. Because obviously his little quirks and stuff are good fun when we're winning, but perhaps not so much when we go the other way. But he is still going to need a rebuild. He is still going to need to get rid of a few players. And I do think this squad will look different next year. But actually, what he's managed to get out of this squad in the last 7 or 8 games has been very, very impressive. And done the only thing he could do this season, which is keep us safe in League One.
Yeah, George says happy to take the win, but the squad still needs an overhaul if we want a challenge for next season. Ian said similar. I'm glad of that performance because it tells you we still have a hell of a lot to do to be playoff contenders next year. The defence is a massive worry. Stuart thought we looked a little bit weary at the end as well, to be understood. I mean, you mentioned that. I mean, the goal, how it came about for the first goal. I think, I mean, Macaulay Gillespie sort of inadvertently had played a part in both goals, really, because he gave the ball away for the move that led to the corner for the first one in a dangerous position. I think the cross sort of just went just behind him, and it's Dobson who was trying to mark. I think it was Armstrong, wasn't it? He scored for the first goal, and then obviously the second one he gave away the penalty. So there are still elements to iron out. Actually, the way that Nathan speaks about the defending, when we hear the interview in a minute, it is very enlightening. Like he knows this. That's promising. Like he can see what the problem is. But whether it's personnel or whether it's more work on organisation and whatnot and passages of play, he needs to find the way to fix it, because that has been an improvement to an extent. But I'd say Tuesday we were a little bit open at Cheltenham. I think we gave up a few chances, and obviously yesterday, you know, we all saw what happened yesterday as well, Ben.
Yeah, well, we know that we were conceding a lot of goals from crosses. I remember that Bolton game where we conceded goals from crosses there, and it was just seemed quite sloppy. Just the basics, and that's what Nathan's done to this side. We're doing the basics well, we're pressing well as a team, and we're well organised at the back. So that was quite a surprise goal to kind of give away from a cross like that, because we hadn't been doing that lately. I mean, if you go back to the goal that Cheltenham scored, that was just a mazy run in the box from their player, and he's like shoots it, I said, and he gets a rebound in. So it was a different goal. So yeah, like that's one thing Nathan's done well. He's brought the best out of these players defensively. He's looked at that straight away and thought, right, and how can I work on this? And it's just building that structure and shape. Terrell sat in the middle yesterday. I was quite surprised to see Jones not playing, to be honest. Because as we said in these comments here, I think that the team is naturally tired. As Nathan said after his comments after Cheltenham, it just seems like we're playing so many away games lately, and we've been up and down the country, going up to Fleetwood on Saturday. These players are naturally tired. They're playing games Tuesday, Saturday, especially the likes of Caroy. This is probably the most he's ever played, especially in professional football. So we are going to see these players tire. It was a poor goal to concede, because it just was a nothing, wasn't it? It's kind of skimmed off his chest. And it was a bit sloppy beforehand. So it was one of them where it was annoying, but it actually made us go forward a bit more and take those risks that we weren't taking before that. But yeah, I think overall in a defensive setup, I think it's better, as Tom's always cried out for, just keeping a regular back three, back four, back five, however we want to set us up. And you'll see a more organised unit. And we have seen that of late. But yeah, and I think the other one yesterday was a penalty, wasn't it? So you can't think too much about that one. We didn't give up too many other chances other than that.
I mean, we'll talk a little bit more about Alfie later on when we hear from him, Tom. But I mean, Kanu's goal was as Stuart points out, there's a nice dummy with the ball by Kanu for his first goal. I've never seen that. He literally like fully swung at the ball, completely missed it, and then almost in the next step, he was levering it into the top corner. So even with that slight mistake in the build up to the shot, I mean, that was a cracking finish from Dan. And he's just remarkable, isn't he? 19 years old. That's 11 goals now for the season, including his four for Southend. A coming of age season. Bear in mind, when he was getting the odd game last season, we were finding him like, oh, you were thinking, oh, he's not quite ready yet. But this season, he clearly has grown into it. And he's only at Southend for about four or five games. But what a difference that's made.
Yeah, he just looks like a completely different player, doesn't he? And he's one of those youngsters that you sometimes forget is as young as he is. I think Nath has often talked on this show about the movement of the younger players. And sometimes you can see that their game awareness isn't quite there, or they don't know how to make the right runs. But if you just sit and watch Kanu, every time our midfield get the ball, he is on the move. He's making a run across the back four. He's watching that defensive line. He's making sure he doesn't go offside. And okay, they don't always find him, but the way that he is moving suggests he knows how he wants to play this game. And yesterday was another perfect example. We talk a lot about resting younger players and, you know, not relying on them too much. And you look at the likes of Ladapo and now Connor Wickham coming in, and you think, okay, is there a chance to take him out of the firing line for a bit? But why would you, when he's in this sort of form? Why would you? Let's just keep him there. You'd imagine if we keep hold of Leeburn and Leeburn's back next year, then there will be more opportunities to rotate between those two and Alfie May, maybe for different games, depending on the opposition. But yeah, I've just been thoroughly, thoroughly impressed with him. He deserves his starting berth at the moment. And like you say, the goal was maybe slightly fortuitous yesterday in that it looked to me like he tried the same move twice and eventually got it done. But he did. He got it done. That's the point. And it was sort of an opportunistic goal, and he seems to be scoring all types of goals at the moment. Obviously had that wayward shot that set up the first one, but again, not afraid to take shots from the edge of the box. And yeah, I just think he deserves everything he's getting at the moment, and long may it continue.
Yeah, Norm says that lethargic start maybe we've seen before. We'd win with, where we thought we'd put the win in without the effort, but we know that's not how it works. We've got the win and that's what counts. Paul says Nathan's done wonders to get this squad back on track. Mounting a realistic promotion challenge will be another matter, though. There's a core of a squad, but that's about it. Joseph says we were better, but not at the best we can be. We did pay too much respect. Still a few little silly errors. And yeah, Andrew paid credit to Carlisle for coming and outplaying us for 30 minutes. But then they sat back after taking the lead, which is a big mistake and let us into the game. I've always felt like when you try and sit back to hold on to a lead, Ben, you've got to make sure you've got the centre halves to do it. And I'm not convinced Carlisle do. I don't know what I'm basing that on. Sam said it was the first half was the worst that we've had under Jones, but second we looked more dominant. If we didn't give the penalty away, it would have been a better scoreline. And Scott points out that the fact we're now talking about next season and a rebuild rather than seven games ago when we felt like we were destined for relegation shows how well that Nathan has galvanised the squad and got us drawing or even winning games. After playing poorly. Lots of love for Thierry Small in the chat. Dean saying he's one of the best left-backs I've seen in a Cheltenham shirt for ages, even only after a few games. Yeah, it's been a very good start. Just hope he can keep those levels up. We've seen players come in and have good starts and then not keep at it. But yeah, he looks like he's built for success, doesn't he, Thierry Small? He's got all that drive, you can see, and he's also been very good on the ball. Let's talk about the debut of Connor Wickham, Ben. Flick on that led to Sam Lavelle's mistake for the third goal. I mean, one of the all-time great overhead kicks we've seen at the Valley. Jonathan Johansson taking notes after that one. I mean, overall, what did you make of Connor yesterday?
I thought he made a massive impact. Yeah, I thought his presence, I thought when the players pinged the ball to him, it stopped dead. He held the ball up well, brought others into play, and obviously helped make us score that third and all-important goal. Yeah, he did put the pressure on the right player so that that player would make a mistake. And then Alfie was like, thank you very much. But yeah, I think, look, it's very tricky. I saw the signing pop up, read the comments, and a lot of fans were like, what? Why do we need him in? Because does it stunt the growth of someone like Casey coming in towards the end of the season? And let's see what he can do. Does it then stop, as Tom was saying, Kanu get more of a run? Do we then take him out? Or does it heighten the competitiveness of that front line? I mean, that's a front line that I am not worried about at all going into next season. I'm excited about it. I mean, Kanu's just going to get better. Alfie May, wow, we've got the top goal scorer in the league. When was the last time we did that? Well, Bradley Wright Phillips in 2011-12. So he's so exciting. And when Wickham come on yesterday, May dropped into that 10 role and he looked brilliant. I mean, we know with Alfie, he's just non-stop, isn't he? The effort, the energy he gives, but also the balls he plays. That ball to Carney yesterday for the goal. Brilliant ball, forward thinking. And he's just such a nuisance. I mean, to be in that position yesterday and the composure to score that goal, I thought was brilliant, because he easily could have just chucked a leg at it straight away, but he waited for it to bounce down and scored it. And I think, all like League One clubs kind of do need that presence up front that can kind of, especially with us, with Kanu and May that do the running. If you have someone up there that can hold it up, bring others into play and comes on when they're tired, it's brilliant for us. And yeah, we all would love that player to be chucked, but unfortunately it doesn't seem like that's going to happen, does it? I mean, I don't know if any updates about him, but it does seem like to bring him in. And I mean, I don't know if you'll go on to talk about it later, but it seems like we might be looking at another free transfer that Nathan mentioned as well. So look, this is good. As the comment come up earlier, we've got a now, Nathan has turned us around so quickly that we're now kind of looking at that mid-table and then looking at these performances for next season. And if Wickham can keep coming on and becoming a nuisance, then he puts himself in the line to be here next season, maybe. Although he does seem to be like the Neil Warnock of players, doesn't he? Like around this time of the year, oh, go on then, I'll have a club now. And then that's a massive holiday in between.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing about Wickham is, so when he signed, I got a text from one of my Palace mates saying that, as in he's a mate who supports Palace, he says that his legs, he's like got matchsticks legs. And I was like, oh, so like he can be quite injury prone by the sounds of it. But Craig says Wickham is a proper Jones signing. He always wants a big man on the bench, and Wickham showed why. And we'll hear from Nathan Jones now. Actually, I do ask him about Wickham, as Ben mentioned there. I ask him about the fact that there have been other free agents knocking about. So I did know that before. It was a bit of a loaded question because I did know that before I asked Nathan. But I thought it'd be interesting to see what he said. You can hear his comment about Connor Wickham's debut as well, which was really funny. Let's have a listen then to what Nathan Jones said. This is following yesterday's 3-2 home win against Carlisle.
In the 3-2 win over Carlisle, how did you see it today?
Really pleased with so much. Obviously pleased with the result because that's the be-all and end-all at this stage and where we are and so on. Really pleased with so much of the play. Disappointed with certain aspects of it, especially the goals. I thought we gifted them two goals. I know a lot of managers would say that, but they didn't have to work hard for the goals. A bit lazy on the second one. First one, it's just a poor goal to give away. But, you know, we showed we can score goals. We scored three goals at home. Could have scored more. Would have threat, I thought, all afternoon. Created chances all afternoon. And won the game, and I think deservedly so.
Yeah, it's the first time trying to have won back-to-back this season. And for yourself, a first home win here at the Valley. How did that feel?
Yeah, very good. Any wins, I'll take wins anywhere, you know what I mean, and points. And that's what we've had to do. We've had to, by hook, by crook, get as many points as we can and move away from the position we were in. And I think we're in a lot healthier position now than we were sort of 8 games ago. And that's the main thing.
Yeah, I mean, that was obviously your first target is survival. Do you think you're nearly there now?
Oh, look, we don't look at... It wasn't survival, you know. It was sort of getting performances so that we can win and get points and then picking up as many points as we can. And however quick, you know, we want to move up the table. We want to make sure that we don't get sucked into any kind of relegation thing, but we want to finish as high as we possibly can, because we want to build. We're not just planning for now, we want to build for the future as well, and they've responded fantastically well. Credit really has to go to the you know, to the players, they've responded fantastically well.
The player has responded really well over the last few weeks is Alfie again. You said on Tuesday it's 2-3. That's a new stat now. It's 4-4.
Absolutely. Well, look, we just had Pullen the other day, and strikers go through spells, and, you know, he's a clever player and he's a great lad and brilliant around the place, thinks about his game, thinks about his movement, you know, he doesn't just go and play off the cuff. He's a wonderful player to be in. And you said to him, just relax, just, you know, things will turn, just keep doing the right things, keep making good runs, and he has. And then suddenly now, you know, turned the corner. I said to him yesterday, well, now the new stat's 2-3, and now it's 4-4, so it's looks a lot rosier, if you like.
You mentioned about the goals you conceded. Is that an indication of how it is still a work in progress with this side?
Absolutely. It will be a work in progress for a long, long time, because we always strive to be better, but we can't give goals away like that. And it's lazy defending. No, we were slow first half. You know, we got caught in possession. We conceded a corner. We didn't clear it. Then it's scrappy. And then we got caught wrong side, so they have a little thing. Well, I'll have a little cheat up. I'll pull someone back and hopefully get away with it. That's not how we defend. That's not how you keep clean sheets. And we've got to get out of that mentality, because fortunate enough, we've got goals in the team and real talent in the team to get people. But if we didn't do that and we missed chances today, then, or didn't score three, then we would have dropped points today, and that would have been harsh, because we were the better team today. You know, they had a little bits of play where they caused us a little bit of problem in build up, but then once we sorted that out and got aggressive, we were front footed. We created lots and lots of opportunities, and as I said, I thought well worth a win.
You mentioned you got talent in the team. You're able to showcase some of your new talent today with Connor Wickham joining the club. What can you tell us about what he's going to bring for the rest of the season?
Well, hopefully not them bicycle kicks, but but apart from that, you know, you can see he's the top. What we've got is pace, energy. We've got real energy in the team, and pace and running ability and cleverness. What we lack a little bit without Chucks is a presence where we can go into and can get us up the pitch, and he brings that. And said with Chucks being a little bit, you know, at the minute, we've got to be careful with him. It was just a logical one. And I said, Connor's come in, trained really well, fitted in with the group, and proved that he's worth his contract.
Could it be seen as almost like an elongated trial ahead of next season for Connor to try and play his way into your plans?
Well, of course, we'll have a look. You know, we want more balance in the team. As I said, the squad will need to be trimmed and to be streamlined, and we'll need to add different things. We've got a lot of pace and power in it, and things. But I'll want to add more balance, and that might mean a target man, that might mean wide men, that might mean different things in the team. But look, we've shown that we can compete. We've shown we're in real good form, and that. So they want to play for this club, and that's a great thing. You know, we've got a group of players that are taking stuff on board. Yes, we can still get better, but I'm glad we can still get better, because it means that, you know, we're still winning games, but we can get better. So the future looks bright.
You mentioned it yourself there. A lot of fans are trying to work out if there's a correlation between Chucks being injured and Connor coming in, but it sounds like the deal's been in the offing for a while. So he's...
Well, we had a look at him, but we obviously know Chucks' situation, and we have to get more out of Chucks, you know, in terms of that. I don't want it to be about Chucks all the time, because we're winning games without Chucks and Iki. So it's not about Chucks and Iki. It's about Charlton Athletic and about the players we have available. And when people get injured, it gives other people opportunity. And we've got strikers that are flying. You know, Daniel Carno's 19 years of age and flying. He's banging them in. Alfie May's back to his best, 20 goals now. So we've got the leading scorer, I think, in the league. So let's not make it about one person. We're bringing people in, and we're developing a way of playing, a system of playing, and everyone's giving me absolutely everything. Yes, we can get better. We should have defended better today, because I'd loved a clean sheet, and to score three, that would have been utopia for us today. But look, we won the game and climbing that league, and we got 44 points. Whereas don't know what we had when I came in, whether it was 30 or something like that. So we're around about that figure. So, you know, it shows we're in decent form, and I'm very happy with that.
And would you be looking at any other free agents?
We will. We might have an announcement. We're just waiting for clearance. But, yeah, we've got an exciting one coming up. So it's, I have someone I know very, very well, and we should have more news for you next week.
Thinking about a new kitchen or bathroom? Find professional, independent local installers with free home surveys, itemised quotes and protected payments, trading standards approved contracts, and workmanship warranties. The British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom, Bathroom Installations accredits installers to ensure they are police checked, fully insured, and experienced. Take the risk out of home improvement. Visit bikbbi.org.uk.
Hello, fellow addicts. I'm so excited to tell you all about our micropub, the River Ale House. The River Ale House is based in East Greenwich. It has 6 Pub of the Year awards, an ever-changing selection of amazing beer. It's owned by Charlton fans, walkable to the ground in just 20 minutes with buses that go direct to the Valley too. If your matchday routine includes a drink with your friends, you must join your fellow addicts in the river. See you soon.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. Just before the break there, we heard from the Addicts manager, Nathan Jones. In a minute, we'll hear from the goal scorer, top goal scorer in the division, Alfie May. And then we've got our guest fans, Martin and Harley Eister, joining us later on in the show. But yeah, so on what Nathan had to say, first of all, so let's talk about those free agents, Tom. So Kazenga Luwalua has been training with us. And Tariq Fosu is a name that came up yesterday more than once. But I mean, judging by what Nathan said and the fact it's someone he knows very well. So Tariq was at Stoke after Nathan was there, whereas obviously Luwalua was at Brighton and at Luton with Jones. So it certainly seems much more likely it's going to be him. 33, obviously, I mean, I used to hate playing against him when he was at Brighton in particular. I used to really struggle against him. So, I mean, I trust Nathan based on what he's brought in so far. I've got a lot of trust in what Nathan wants to do.
Yeah, and the players that he's worked with before that he's now working with again seem to be playing well. Eisted obviously had a couple of mistakes in recent games, but largely has been very good. And I know there's a few others across this squad as well. Like you say, he's 33. I can't imagine it's going to be a long-term solution for us. But you look at the hole that Corey has left since he's gone. If he looks good for the rest of this season, then maybe he's worth a punt next year. And maybe a player like that, when they're on form, can be the difference between going up and not. So, I think it's a bit of a free hit, isn't it? Like you say, I trust Nathan way more than I trust Scott and the recruitment that had been made prior to Nathan coming in. So it'll be interesting, maybe a bigger topic to see what happens with that over the summer. But everything Nathan seems to be doing at the moment is turning certainly to silver, maybe not quite gold at this stage, but certainly massive improvements everywhere. So, yeah, as I say, I don't think it's a long-term solution. But going back to Benji's point around Connor Wickham and whether that restricts youth players, I don't know how many sort of tricky wingers we've got really that he would be restricting. So bringing somebody in with that experience who's played at a higher level and, as you say, caused us problems in the past, just to get us through this season, you know, if he does look good and he does work well with the strikers we've got, then we can maybe give him a one-year deal and kick on next year as well. So, yeah, I think it's worth a try, worth a go, and Nath knows him and trusts him.
Yeah, I mean, other than Tyrese Campbell, have we actually got any wingers at the moment after we sold Corey? I don't think we have. Like, certainly not first team. And obviously, Tyrese's form fell off a cliff, really, unfortunately, Ben. So that feels like a position we want to look at, whether it turns out to be Luwalua, whether it turns out to be Fosu, obviously, who we know well from his time here previously.
Oh, mate, yeah. For me, it's the biggest area of our squad that we need. And I go back earlier to saying playing that formation against such like the bottom of the league, I think, actually thinking about it, we haven't really got many other formations to play because, as you said, Tyrese's form is pretty poor. His confidence seems very low. So you're not going to then switch it up to have two wingers playing because naturally you've only got one in Thierry Small and he's really a left back. So, yeah, that's a massive position we need. If it is Kazenga Luwalua or Tariq Fosu, I mean, he was brilliant with us in his time here, then it's great because that's the position we need going forward. It does make me laugh how he's like, yeah, I need to trim the squad, but yeah, we've got another player coming in. But if it's a player in that position, then that's ideal for us. Because we saw Henry Ryler come through, didn't we, and have like a few glimpses of what he could do. And again, if it's someone like that who's 33, who's had a good career, as you said, who's come down to the Valley and given us hell before, is he do you remember him doing those backflips as well? Or am I thinking of
his, was that his Lamana? Brother? Yeah. Or yeah. Did they both do them? Who knows? Maybe we'll find out. I don't know if you can still do that in your mid-30s. I certainly
Jan's his brother-in-law. Did you see that?
Yeah, as well, yeah. So lots of surprising links. So yeah, maybe he'll be backflipping his way into the Valley very soon. I think we should hear from Alfie May next. There's a good question from Paul, but I want to save that for when Martin comes on, because just put him on the spot about his not real son and the goalkeeper situation. But yeah, let's have a listen then to Alfie May. So I'm sure you've all seen it by now, but the tunnel jump yesterday was just up there with one for the ages. When it's the first time we've done one since obviously November. And clearly we need a little bit more practice, because to put it kindly, Alfie went arse over tit, didn't he, and fell over. But luckily, I think he saw the funny side. This is me talking to Alfie after yesterday's win against Carlisle.
Right. Alfie, everyone wants to know if you're all right after falling over doing the tunnel jump.
I've had a lot of messages saying am I injured. No, to be fair, I landed it quite well. But it's just like, it's fun to laugh at, isn't it?
Yeah. So I guess you'd be out of practice because we haven't won at home for a while, but it's nice to get that over the line today.
Listen, the 3 points was important. We're still unbeaten, I think, in seven now, and we're on a good run, and back-to-back wins as well. We just want to keep going and see where it takes us.
You're obviously on a personal good run again, and we saw your interview on Tuesday, how much I guess you've been hurting over the last few weeks. So what does it mean today to get a brace?
Yeah, it's nice. As a striker, you kick yourself when you ain't scoring. You feel like you're not doing it for the team and things like that. I got brought into this club to score goals. And listen, I know I scored goals at the start of the season. When you go on a little bit of a goal drought, you start doubting yourself. And to be fair to the gaffer, he's had a few chats with me and he said, you know where the net is. Like, don't be frustrated. It'll come. And I think I'm in 4-4 now. So now I'm back on a run. So hopefully I can really kick on with the next 8 games and see where it can take me. As I want to win the Golden Boot, and that's what I'm aiming for. And like I say, see where we as a team can finish.
Yeah, you mentioned at times this season you feel like over your career you've scored almost in streaks, and so you're always confident that once you got one, you're going to pick it up again.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I go on streaks, and then like I say, miss probably 5 or 6 games where I don't score, but I'm doing it for a bigger club now. There's probably a little bit more pressure on me, but I thrive off that. It's when you have your doubters, you sort of look at it and put it in the back of your head and make sure you prove people wrong. And that's what I've been sort of doing my whole career.
Well, certainly the last few years. I think this is the first season where you've hit 20 goals in League One as well. That's a remarkable achievement.
Yeah. I want to say I think the last couple of years I've hit 20 league goals, and I want to carry on. Like I say, I want to see where it can take me. If that's 30 league goals, that'd be the next achievement.
You've mentioned the Golden Boot there for League One. Is that something you keep a keen eye on then?
Yeah, definitely. When you're in and around it with this late on, it's definitely it's a great personal goal. It's a good achievement. I think I finished joint second and third over the last couple of season, and I want it. So I'll be trying my hardest to keep scoring.
You already beat Haaland at the end of last year for that one in the calendar year as well. So those little competitions in your mind sort of keep you going.
Yeah, definitely. You keep working hard every day on the training pitch, and you try and be better every day, and that's what I want to be. I still want to score goals, and it's to have little achievements like that. I set my own targets at the start of the year. Completed one today with getting 20 league goals. It's time to kick on.
You mentioned Nathan there. What difference has he brought to the side as a whole?
Yeah, I said it before. He brings the energy that he brings, and The way that we're playing, everybody's bought into it, and there's on training you sort of see the structure that he sets out, and it's been really good. We're unbeaten, and like I say, we want to just set it in there. Let's see where we can actually finish. Let's just have it a right good go.
Yeah, obviously Connor's been brought in as well. Connor Wickham on a short-term contract, so it's a striker with a lot of experience to play alongside. Now, what do you sort of hope to learn from him?
Yeah, definitely. He's played at the top level. And then, like today, I see him coming on. I knew exactly what I was doing in terms of when it goes up to him, I'm just going to run off him, because you knew that he had, at one point, I think he had two defenders on his back. And that's what he brings to the team now. He's going to be needed. And when we go long into him, it's about getting runners off him and trying to score.
Well, see, you mentioned your personal targets for the rest of the season, but as a team, I think Charlton are pretty much there, not quite in terms of staying up, but what else do you hope to achieve between now and the end of the year?
Playoffs? Is that achievable? We want to finish as high as we possibly can. We know it's not been a great start at the start of the season, and the fans probably really frustrated, but I'm hoping that they can see something now as what we're sort of doing and what we're trying to achieve as a team.
Imagine if Alfie was being genuine when he thought we could get to the playoffs, and I just laughed in his face there. But yeah, that was Alfie May after yesterday's game and failed tunnel jump attempt. Tom, he's remarkable this season, and to bounce back from the last few weeks, and you could hear how, you know, you said a little bit on Tuesday with Tell as well about how he feels he'd let the side down. But one thing you could always say is he's always put the hard yards in, and therefore you knew probably once things started falling back into place, he'd pick up where he left off. It just took a little bit longer than he would have hoped.
Yeah, and even somebody of his quality is going to have his down days or his little drops in form. But yeah, you look at him yesterday, not only the two goals, the first one so opportunistic in terms of just, you know, being alert, being on the edge, watching that deflection. Great first touch to move away from that defender and slam it home. And then the second one, you know, opportunistic as well. And I watched back the highlights today and it seemed quite comfortable on the highlights. But when I was stood behind that goal yesterday, it seemed to take him forever to put it in, and I was convinced he was going to miss. But yeah, he's just been brilliant. And the work ethic outside of that, we know what he's about. He's just been a complete breath of fresh air. As Benji says, really, the first kind of complete striker like that we've had since Bradley Wright Phillips. And, you know, he's only 30, 31. He's got a few years left. I think this is the highest level he's played, certainly consistently like this. And yeah, he had to deal with a little spell, didn't he, under Nathan Jones, where he was being subbed off first. I can't remember exactly where that was, away when I was there. But yeah, and then dropped a couple of times as well. But, you know, he's not worried about that. He's put his head down. He's worked hard and fully justified his place back in the side. And again, nobody's bigger than the club. If we've got enough strikers that we can rotate for different situations, and we're the sort of club that can rest Alfie May next year, then that shows how good strength and depth we're going to have. So, yeah, I'm absolutely delighted for him. I do hope he gets the golden boot. It will be a little glimmer of positivity in what's largely been an appalling season from us. And yeah, he thoroughly deserves it. And he just seems like a genuinely lovely bloke. Obviously, you've met him. I haven't yet, but maybe will at Player of the Year. But he just seems like a very, very decent bloke as well. And yeah, I'm just delighted for him. And I'm very delighted that we've got him as our player as well.
Yeah, character-wise, he's definitely a Charlton player, if that makes sense, the sort of bloke we like to have around, but hard work. Shiny Phil says at the Bristol Rovers home match in August, some turd near me shouted, "Alfie May will never get 20 goals in a season for us. He's not the answer. He's rubbish. Humble pie, anyone." I mean, some of the comments you saw on social media over the last 6 weeks, I was sitting there thinking, you guys mad? Like, there are people ready to write him off because he's had a few weeks out. I mean, he was always going to come back and score goals, like it was at the start of the season when he went 3 or 4 without getting one. He was always going to get goals in this side. That's just the player he is. Dean said he still fear that Alfie might go in the summer, but hopefully it won't come to that. Right, let's bring in our guest fans. I'll be looking forward to this one all day. So let's welcome onto the screen the man who claims he's definitely not related to Harry Eisted. Is Martin Eisted, and he's actually put it in his bio there as well. Martin joins us and his son Harley. Hi chaps, how are you two doing?
Yeah, all good. Yep.
Good to have you guys on the show. So, Martin, have you got a birth certificate or anything that can prove that you're not related to Harry? It's quite hard to prove you're not related to someone, but tell us straight.
He's not one of our clan, no.
Excellent.
We feel like we're taking him under our wing.
Yeah, well, you can answer the question then that Glovepot put in. So normally we just talk about yesterday's game. Let's go straight for it then. Talking of next season, would we be comfortable with Eisted or Ashley Maynard Brewer being our number one? Martin first, how have you rated the two goalkeepers this season?
Oh, pressure. I would go with Eisted. I would go with Harry. But the last three games, he just looked so nervous after his Aaron Ramsdale moment. It's just not been the same. So, but he's got more experience, so... He wins for me.
And Harley, I mean, do you think between them that either of them would be good enough for the number one spot in a side that we think should be challenging for promotion?
Yeah, I wouldn't change anything going into next season. We've seen, I said, can't do it. He did it at Barnsley. They all love him up there. So, and they got to the playoff final with him. So, yeah, for me, he would work for next season.
I'm absolutely gutted that Harley isn't Harry, just with like a fake moustache on or something, because I was convinced that's what you're gonna do. But maybe just on yesterday's game, I said a little bit earlier in the show, I thought it was probably our weakest performance under Nathan Jones, but probably still 10 times better than it was ever under Appleton. What have you both made of Jones so far, and how confident are you that going into next season he can kick on and take us to that next level?
Yeah, I really think he's the man. He's got the passion, he's got the fans, he's got the players. But I think yesterday we all turned up thinking this is a nice 6-0, just strolling the park. And it never happens, does it? Never happens. Maybe they're tired because he's pushing them harder than they've been all season, but they are professionals, so they should be able to cope with it. But yeah, I think Anderson probably can need a rest. Needs to come out just as a break, but I can only see it onwards and upwards, really.
Well, what about you, Harley, as well?
I would agree. It's just, yeah, as I'd say, the passion. It's the first manager since Bo that's not been a robot on the side. He actually cares about the club. So, yeah, for me, it's very good to see him bring him in.
Good morning, chaps. I was thinking the other day that now these new signings have settled in a bit more, that January was actually quite a positive window, because I've kind of felt like now they've settled in, they're doing quite well. How do you think the signings have been? And is there any that you're thinking for next season that they're definitely going to be in our squad going forward?
I think the January signing is very positive. Yes, we're all knocking those upstairs that we don't know about, but it clearly must be a plan to put some money in and move on. We can't keep going backwards. All positive signings, as I can see, mixed with the academy, which is just brilliant. And then Steve Avery. A little note, Steve Avery used to be my sports teacher. Picked me for the one game in the B team, slipped over, own goal, football career over. So I'm glad he's moved to Charlton and not my school team.
I can say it runs in the family, that does, doesn't it? No, he's not your son, is he? Harley, your views on Ben's question as well? I mean, do you think the signings in January, I wonder if the fact that Nathan has improved everyone has helped all of them as well, because obviously it was a slow start for quite a few of them.
Yeah, so it's been a mix. I would disagree. I would say there's a couple that maybe were a bit panicked, like Backinson. I know he's out of contract at the end of the season. I personally wouldn't bring him in. I know there were some talks of making that a permanent in the summer, but for me, that's not one. But again, some stand out, like Small, he's just been brilliant. So yeah, well, it's been nice to see a January where they've actually put some money in behind. Still positive, but still some doubts.
Yeah, I mean, so how much work, starting with you, Martin, first, do you think there needs to be between now and sort of the start of next season in terms of revamping the squad? Is do you think there's still a bit of a way to go?
Yeah, I think the way that Nathan has now seemed to stuck to the core, not bringing in Louis Watson and all that that we all thought was it, and just clearly isn't. So there is those that are on the outskirts will disappear, I believe, and he will stick with his core that he's got these last however many games to cement who's staying, who's going, and it's got to be positive from there. It'd be hard on some, but it's the way it is.
Yeah, and same to you, Harley, and also, I guess, is there a specific area of the squad that you think will have to improve between now and next season if we are to be serious, like, promotion contenders next year?
Yeah, I still think the up front, I think we're sorted going into next year. In the middle with Dobson obviously leaving, that is a big hole to fill. Hopefully Connor can do it, but they seem to be all right playing alongside each other, so I don't know how hot Connor will be on his own. And then defensively as well, of course, we're still, I know we brought in a lot, but they're still sloppy at the back. So, yeah, that could definitely do some additions.
Creativity, isn't it?
Yeah, certainly. Well, I wonder if they're going to try and address that a little bit with the wingers and obviously in the middle of the park as well. I guess Coventry's starting to bring that sort of stuff. But anyway, right, you guys, Martin and Harley, thank you for joining us. Thank you, Harry, of course, for holding the camera just behind you guys so he couldn't be seen on it. But yeah, great to have you guys on as our guest fans this week. And I'm sure we'll see you guys about.
Cheers.
There we go. That's Martin and Harley Eisted, who are not related to Harry Eisted, apparently, on this week's Charlton Live as our guest fans. I mean, just looking forward then, Tom. So I said it to Nathan there. Obviously, the way he answers certain questions is always very interesting. I said, oh, yeah, obviously survival is your first aim. It's like, oh, don't even think about that. It's just about winning points and winning games. But we're effectively there now, I reckon, just because of the gap and what you'd expect to happen in the final eight games for us. I'd expect to pick up the 4 points we probably need. So we'll be fine, I think. They'll come back to bite me if we aren't. So what is serious for the rest of this season now? What is a serious aim that we can achieve between now and the end of the campaign?
Yeah, I think as far as he's concerned, the aim is win every single game. That it's as simple as that, wherever that means we finish. I don't think it's going to be the playoffs as Alfie was hoping, but it's obviously then not going to be relegation if we do it. And for Nathan, of course, he can't just say we're safe because, one, technically, mathematically, we're not, but two, if they get complacent and if we go on a little bit of a downward dip in the remaining 7 or 8 games, then that's not going to look great either. So I know we've had seasons like the one we had under Adkins springs to mind, where you end on a positive and it's like, here we go, we're going to kick on next year, and then it doesn't happen. So I'm not going to read as much into that as perhaps I'd like to. But if we do go and win every game, you know, the positivity that will start to develop around this club going into the summer, as I say, compared to where we were just 6 or 7 weeks ago, will be huge. So, you know, I think we already know him well enough to know he's not the sort of manager that's going to sit on his laurels and say, you know, this is job done now. He's just going to want to win every single game. And if we do, obviously that will probably put us top of the form table for the time he's been here. And that is impressive from him. And yeah, really, that's all he's been left with this season. There was nothing else he could achieve. Keep us safe. I said that on day one. If he does that, that's all he can do. Now that he's probably done that, let's just see how many games we can win. It's probably not going to count for very much, but for him, that will be huge. And he can then start to go into the summer, positive mindset, sign some players and go from there. So yeah, there's not much more than that, really.
Yeah, Scott says Nathan Jones's mentality is never negative. He's ingrained that into the whole squad. And he says top 10 is now a goal, I would say. I still think that would be quite a big ask. You'd have to win the vast majority of the rest of your games to get close to that, I think. But yeah, there's Sam saying, I could see us winning 6 out of the 8 and the others being draws. And Nathan won't settle, as you well know. We could pick up and slot into the playoffs. If other results happen, we can't slot into the playoffs, Sam. I'm really sorry to be the bearer of bad news. But even if we won all of our remaining games, we wouldn't get the playoffs. I think we'd still fall short. So, yeah, that's a shame. Philip saying, bring back Sean Clare and Cesar Young. Some spectacular goals, at least for defenders. They can shoot. I mean, when Sam Lavelle was here, there were a lot of fans who actually quite liked him, and some seemed a little bit upset when he left. I don't think I imagine that. And I don't know if like, can people not see certain things because there are players? Like, but for me, it's like, even like the likes of Sean and to an extent, Sess. I mean, we've been mid-table League One for too long because of players like that. So I see no reason to bring them back, especially when Thierry Small currently is looking like a massive upgrade. Anyway, right, we've run out of time on Charlton. I've just seen the time's ticking over to 11 o'clock. So yeah, thanks to everyone who's joined us in the live chat for this week's show on YouTube. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss another Charlton Live show. You can subscribe to our podcast as well, wherever you hear the pod, again, to make sure you always pick them up when they're downloaded after the event. Massive thanks to Martin and Harley Eisted, who joined us as this week's guest fans. Big thanks to Tom and Ben as well. Great to speak to the pair of you.
Cheers, lads.
Cheers, guys. I've cheered up now, so it's good therapy. Yeah.
Excellent stuff. There we go. Right, this has been Charlton Live, sponsored by the Bruce Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. We'll be back on Thursday to look ahead to the trip up to Fleetwood. Oh, God, it's a long one next week. So, yeah, we'll see you again on Thursday.